Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Does alcohol affect your sleep in a negative or a positive way? My guest is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He is absolutely the consummate expert and gold standard researcher on effective treatments for chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, both of which can affect your sleep. But if you don't have either one of those, is alcohol detrimental to your sleep, Dr. Teitelbaum?
I think for most people, it's just fine. And what you need to understand, we live in a society where people try to make you neurotic about everything, and it's not healthy. People have been having a drink before bedtime for thousands of years, and it's worked just fine. Now, there are times when it can be a problem. And if you have difficulty sleeping because you wake up unrefreshed or you keep waking up in the middle of the night, that's the time to look at whether the alcohol is becoming a problem. But if you're just having one drink before bedtime, for most people, we're going to add that to the myths that are busted, along with the eggs bad, salt bad, all these other things. They're good for you. And so alcohol is no exception.
That's awesome. I'm thrilled to hear that. Now, people that do say, but I can't sleep and my little tiny shot of whiskey or my little glass of wine doesn't seem to help me, because you did hear in all the old Victorian novels, their little brandy or whatever it was at night. Then what do you think could be affecting somebody's sleep if it's not their glass of wine?
Well, see, here's the thing. If you have insomnia and trouble falling asleep, if you have widespread pain or fatigue with it, then, it's a CFS or fibromyalgia kind of thing that we were talking about last segment. And I do know, I do treat people from all over the world with phone consultations or in person for the disease. But if you have trouble sleeping in general, if you take more and more alcohol, then it's going to end up bombing your sleep worse, because it's going to keep you in light sleep. And that's when people get into trouble. So you want to look for things like sleep apnea. If you sleep but you're exhausted all day, you fall asleep during the day. If you fall asleep behind the wheel, lots of signs. Look for sleep apnea. High blood pressure, look for sleep apnea. And the alcohol will aggravate sleep apnea if you're having more than one drink at bedtime, because it makes the muscles more relaxed in the throat and can choke you while you're sleeping. People with restless leg syndrome, where their legs are jumping all night, and they won't know, but their sheets will be kicked around, their bed partner will be kicked around. In those cases, it's an iron deficiency in most people, and the blood test will be technically normal, because the blood test normal range are insanely stupid and unreliable, he said subtly. if it's over 8, they'll say you're normal. It has to be over 60, so ignore the normal range. But if you just have trouble sleeping, sometimes it's just day-to-day stress that gets you as well. And that's when the sleep herbals, wild lettuce, Jamaican dogwood, hops, theanine, valerian, passion flower, all six of those, again, can be found in the revitalizing sleep formula, which is the herbal mix that I love for my patients, and I'll take myself if I need something, and leaves most people sleeping like puppies. So there's natural things you can do that won't disrupt your sleep. But if you have sleep apnea, if you're overdoing the alcohol, if you're doing half a bottle of vodka before you go to bed, probably going to disrupt your sleep, leave you wide awake. A little trick if you're drinking a little more than you should is drink plenty of water, because otherwise you wake up in the middle of the night because you're dry mouthed, and at least you can bypass that little bit of it.
Well, that's very good advice, really. Now, people have been hearing about melatonin a lot in the media, Dr. Teitelbaum. So where does that fit in? Is it something we create while we sleep, a sleep hormone? Do we need to take it in? Do we have enough of it?
Well, melatonin is what our body's own sleep cycle clock makes. It's a pineal gland in the head, and it goes ahead and it secretes melatonin and says, okay, nighttime, go to sleep. Most people have enough, but as we age, just like with all the other hormones, we often make too little. And all it takes in those cases is just half a milligram is as effective as the higher doses. And in most people, half a milligram is plenty. I'll add it up to 1 milligram just so people can make sure they're absorbing it. But the other thing that wakes people up in the middle of the night is acid reflux. And if you wake up in the middle of the night with acid burning or with a sweat, you may find that it's because you're reflexing acid. 5 to 6 milligrams of melatonin, a sleep wedge pillow, and a half a teaspoon of baking soda, Arm & Hammer baking soda, in 4 ounces of water, taken before bedtime to neutralize the stomach acid, will go ahead and knock out acid reflux at nighttime in most people. But again, you don't want to take the acid blockers because they are addictive and over time will worsen your acid reflux.
People don't really realize that. They take things called antacids when really we need our stomach acids to digest our food. So it's kind of a misnomer and certainly something that we can change by really regulating, you know, the acids in our stomach, correct?
Absolutely. Indigestion is not too much stomach acid, and most people it's not enough. But then any stomach acid burns because it's squirting all over the place. And the body makes acid in the stomach for a reason. You need it. And when people take long-term acid blockers, besides being addictive, the studies show that it causes osteoporosis along with a host of nutritional deficiencies. It's nasty stuff. And, you know, it's one thing if you need it once in a while, that's fine. But if you're needing it for more than a couple of days, you want to start treating digestion with plant-based digestive enzymes to help you digest food, even taking some hydrochloric acid called betaine HCl in pills from a health food store, masticum, licorice. There's a host of things you can do. My book, Real Cause, Real Cure, or if you go on the website at vitality101.com and look up indigestion, it'll tell you exactly how to heal your digestion.
Okay, so back to the sleep cycle and possible alcohol. So, you know, because there have been some things that say, you know, that it can possibly mess around with, as you said, your dry mouth. But what about any hormones, or is there any interaction there?
Well, let's take a look at the two pieces. Sleep cycle, there's five main stages. We have the light stages, 1, 2, which is what the alcohol increases. And that's why too much alcohol keeps you out of deep sleep. You have stage 3, 4, which is what you really need. And most sleep medications also keep you in light sleep. And then dream sleep, which is also suppressed a bit by alcohol. So it does mess with the stages if you do it in excess. And that's the key. In terms of the hormones, the same thing applies. If you do it in excess, it can mess with your estrogen and progesterone and testosterone production. So that can be an issue. By the time people are doing that much alcohol that it's messing with that, that's not the biggest problem they've got.
Well, sure, then it's going to be messing. That's right. It's going to be messing with some other kinds of things. And then you advised also drinking water if you are going to have that glass. Now, is there certain conditions where maybe it will, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, should they not be having that glass of wine before bed?
In CFS and fibromyalgia, the alcohol is okay. The exception is that some people with candida can't tolerate alcohol. It makes them feel sick. And those people, I don't have to tell them not to take it. Their body's ready doing so. But otherwise, if people want a glass of, you know, a normal amount, 1 to 2 shots, but not more, I think it's just fine.
How do you know if you have candida?
Well, if you have sinusitis or spastic colon, then you probably, in this country, have candida overgrowth in the gut. And when you treat the irritable bowel syndrome, you're going to find that when you treat the candida, the irritable bowel syndrome and sinusitis go away in most people.
Wow, that is amazing and so much great information. In the last 30 seconds or so, Dr. Teitelbaum, tell people where they can get more information about you, the great information that you give, the energy analysis, everything.
Well, at endfatigue.com, you can find the supplements we talked about today, the energy analysis program, and information on how to see me if you want to make an appointment, if you have chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia. The books From Fatigue to Fantastic, if you have chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia. For everybody else, Real Cause, Real Cure will be a natural owner's manual for your body. And if you have an iPhone app, or if you have the iPhone or Android, Cures A to Z, a free app. It's like having me in your pocket. Over 2 million people have downloaded it.
Wow, having Dr. Teitelbaum right there available to help you with your problems right there on an app. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Staying Well on Radio MD. Have a great day. Stay well.